Welcome to the Consciousness Anywhere and Everywhere podcast. I am Shannon O'Hara, and I invite you to a completely new world of possibilities.
Hello, everybody. I am so excited. I have been chasing this woman around for, it seems like forever, to do a podcast. And today I am finally joined by the amazing Simone Millicis. Simone, thank you so
Shannon.
Much for being here.
Yay. You're so welcome. Thank you for having me. I'm sorry you had to chase me.
And if you guys don't know, Simone is sort of the X worldwide coordinator for Access Consciousness. You guys know a lot about Access Consciousness because you've been listening to a lot of my podcasts. Simone came on. Can I tell them a little bit about when we
go
first
for it? Go for it. Yes,
Simone
go
first
for
came
it.
On. I remember meeting, I mean, what did we meet? 18, 17 years ago, something like that?
I think it was almost 19 years ago. Yeah, 18, 19 years ago.
It's some random restaurant in Texas. I came in at a point in Access when it was what I would call a backyard business. It was something that was still quite small and we all knew each other. And you came in and created a website and started getting things organized. And it was off your vision and sort of the elbow grease that you put in that you really created the expandable foundation that Access could grow as a proper business on.
Thank you. Well, yeah. And you know what? When I started with Gary, like working with Gary, I had my own business. And I remember saying to him, you know what? Maybe we should do this and we should do this and we could do this and we should do this. And he looked at me and he went, maybe you should work with us. And I was like, no, 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 no. And I was like, I don't have enough time. And I was like, I have my own business. And, you know, but I loved Gary. And I loved, like, when the first seminar I ever went to with him was on relationships, which at that stage, I had no desire for a relationship, but I wanted to hear this man talk. And he was so irreverent. And the one thing that he said was, don't trust me, trust you. And I was like, oh, thank God, somebody is so refreshing, you know, not to say, you've got to come follow me. He was like, trust you, what do you know? So at that moment, I was like, God, this man is talking about everything that I want to see in the world. I had this concept of, you know, maybe grabbing people by the shoulders and shaking them and saying, don't you know that there's something different? But Gary had a much clearer and cleaner way of doing it. So I kept sort of like helping and going, what about this? What about this? So, and eventually he took me out to lunch one day, Shannon, and he pot and popped me for about 2 hours on commitment because he wanted to pay me for doing something and I didn't want to take any money. And he kept saying, why? And I said, because that means I'll be committed to you. And the guy has so much patience. We had this like 2 hour conversation because as soon as I thought that I took money from him as well or from Access,
you'd
that meant I was committed.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he was like, no, you always have choice. And I got to say to this day, I still wake up in the morning 19 years later and still know that I have choice. And it's not this place of, it's a necessity. It's like, I choose to be working with Access. I choose consciousness. I choose all of this. And that conversation with Gary years ago, I was so grateful for it and made such a big difference in my life. And that's when I was like, all right, well, maybe I will start doing a few things with Access, you know.
So that's actually, I would love to. What if we could? I think that's a really interesting area, is talking about that commitment and in choice versus like feeling beholden or obligated. Because it's something I've watched him deal with that a lot with people, with them wanting to contribute, wanting to be part of, but not wanting to commit or not wanting to be controlled or beholden based on, you know, time or money. And I've run into that a million times over being a business owner myself and working with people. And commitment is such a huge way in which we actually can create a greater lives for ourselves and a greater world. But commitment is treated like such a bad word. And I think is completely misunderstood.
I do too. And what I think is what most people look at is the commitment to others. But in truth, all you have to have is the commitment to yourself. And I mean, I say that and it sounds easy.
So what do you mean by that?
Okay. So what I mean by that is the commitment to you in, if you say me working with Access or in a relationship, because I mean, so many people would look at an outside source to fulfill them. You've got to be the one that fulfills every single thing for you today, not meaning like you have to do everything yourself, but if I'm committed to me, then I'm committed to moving forward with the reality that I am creating that works for me. And for me, access consciousness matched the energy of what I desired to create in the world. Like when I met Gary, you know, I had my own business called Good Vibes for You. And it was, you know, I created that business because I wanted to create more vulnerability with people, and I wanted to change the way people looked at themselves, looked at each other, and looked at the world. Access was doing it much quicker than what I was doing it. So it matched the energy. So my commitment to me was, how do I empower people to know that there's something different? Because I used to walk around this planet going, this cannot be it. Seriously, guys, this can't be it. Look at the earth, look at nature. It's incredible. And you're walking around doing trauma and drama. So if I commit to me and go, no matter what it takes, sort of energy, like no matter what it takes, no matter what it looks like, I'm choosing this, then everything that comes across my path, you know, for want of a better word, everything comes across my path that matches that energy, I choose. So therefore, if I'm choosing access consciousness, I'm committed to me and I'm committed to what I'd like to create in the planet. And yet access matches that energy. So therefore, being committed to me with that ends up being that I commit to consciousness and I commit to access consciousness, but it's a choice every single day. Same thing is like if you take it to relationship, you know, being with a person, it's like if you're looking at that person as an outside source to fulfill your needs, then you are not, it takes you out of the commitment that you have for you. Like what if every day that you were with you was the greatest day in the world, and then someone or something else adds to it and contributes to it to create greater? That's the way I would look at it.
Well, it's so, and thank you. And it's so interesting to recognize how often commitment is seen as losing choice.
Yeah, as weak.
If you're committed, therefore you have less choice. And what's actually true is the opposite. When you commit to you, you have the smorgasbord of choice opens up in a way that could never be available to you without that commitment to yourself.
Yeah. I mean, even if you look at like today, like if you're listening to this podcast and look at today or look at tomorrow, if you listen to it at nighttime, and what I'd love you to do is look at each thing that you choose throughout the day. Are you choosing that for you, or are you choosing that based on trying to please someone else or what somebody else expects of you or the projections?
I love that. Yes.
Yeah. And you think it's going to be choosing against, and I'm not talking about choosing against. This is not like a 14-year-old teenager that's decided they're going to live their life and be petulant and go, I am choosing for me, which is choosing against. This is what we refer to in access consciousness is the kingdom of we. Like Gary Douglas, every moment of the day chooses for him. And yet
everyone. We need to slow down and tease this apart. Let's take seven steps back. So that exercise that you suggested that people do where they look at, it's like today, how many of the choices that you're making are based on the commitment you have to you and creating the life and the world that you would like to live in,
yes,
versus how many of those choices are to fulfill other people's needs, requirements, desirements, obligations, etc.
Yes.
It's just to recognize that in and of itself, how many of the choices you make on a daily basis are to fuel your life versus to fuel what other people need. That's so huge. And if none of the choices that you're making in the day are to create the life you would love to live, that means you have little to no commitment to yourself. You're committed to fulfilling other people's needs. And how much, and that's so interesting, as you were talking to someone, I realized how easy it is, how much almost it's seemingly easier to fulfill other people's needs.
Yeah, totally. It's a way of never committing to you. And because if you fulfill other people's needs and you don't commit to you, and then something doesn't show up the way you would like it to, it doesn't work out, then you can blame somebody else. You never, ever get to take, you never actually get to have a look at that yourself. It's always somebody else's fault. Whereas if you're committed 100% to your life, then every choice you make is yours. You never get to blame anybody else.
And it's that right there is the, what I would call like the nuclear core of power, like that willingness to take what I would actually call responsibility, which is also a very misunderstood and very naughty word. To take responsibility for stuff doesn't mean you're wrong. It means if this works, I will acknowledge that I have created something great. And if this fails, I will acknowledge that I took a swing and I got a swing again.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I remember growing up at school and I used to write on my pencil case imagine what you'd do if you knew you couldn't fail. That was something that I gave myself. I also wrote French sucks, but you know, because I hated my French teacher. But that's what I used to write on my pencil case every year for about 4 years, because it was just for me, because I knew that there was something different, and I knew that I had to change some perspective. So just for me, like just for fun, I had that. And that's what I grew up with. And that was the basis that I actually started Good Vibes For You. The business I had before I came across Access Consciousness was, imagine what you'd do if you knew you couldn't fail, because what if there was never a failure? What if it was like you said, you took a swing, you get back up and something shows up and it looks different. But if you keep committing to your life and you keep moving forward and you keep asking questions, and that's one thing I'm so grateful for with Access, is the permission to ask questions continuously, like every 10 seconds. All right, so what's this? What's next? What's right about this I'm not getting? You know, and being questioned so that you don't go to that judgment. You go, okay, right. So this didn't show up like this, but hey, I can walk down this road and choose something different.
Is committing to being in the question a commitment to, what is that a commitment to?
Well, I think that's also a commitment to you and knowing that your life changes all the time. I mean, it was interesting. I was just talking to Brendan Watt this morning and I said, I'm really grateful that we're doing this relationship done different classes, because it becomes so confronting for both of us. We really have to have a look at what's going on. Same thing as doing the choice of possibilities. And I'm also doing an advanced body class with your sister, Grace.
But can I say that it doesn't make you have to look at stuff? That's something you actually choose, which is what I believe actually makes you a success. You're really applying the tools in the class to yourself as well.
Well, I think, my point of view is I have to be the tools to facilitate the tools. It's like, I'm not willing just to talk about it and you know, say that I'm doing it and not actually choose it. So yeah, sometimes it gets incredibly confronting.
You have the curse of self-honesty, one of those superpowers.
Thank you. I like the way you call it a curse and a superpower in the same sentence. That's brilliant. Yeah.
So I love thinking about you when you were talking about your pencil case and writing, like, what would I choose if I knew I couldn't fail? Did you know then that you would be so different today?
I've got to say, I was more frustrated, like, growing up in Sydney, and I get the frustration created somewhere, a question in my world. Like, I did very much the going against this reality and trying to prove that there was something different. Big time. And then, I mean, I took a lot of drugs. I, you know, did all of that. I was like, because I just knew there had to be something different. And taking drugs too, for me, was the closest I could get to something that was different. So it gave me some sort of sense of relief. And then even like when I remember going to India and I was doing business there, and then I came home and I was like, I'll wear no shoes. I'll wear long skirts and put a bindi on my head. And, you know, but again, it was like rebelling against this reality rather than, I get it's not about going against this reality. It's about choosing your reality and what works for you. And it took me some time before I actually started to look at myself. And because most people are about 10-15% committed to their life, and that's unfortunately quite high. So it did take me some time to actually have a look at it and go, oh, this is not about rebelling. This is not about going against. This is actually about working with this reality, like using it to my advantage and knowing that my reality is way bigger, way, 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 way bigger. And what would I like to create? And if I was a catalyst and a source, you know, the source of my own creation, like my own choices, then what is it? What path do I want to sort of, you know, create here? So I think that's probably more the way I looked at it. I've been there, done that with so many different things.
Do you remember a point of commitment? Like, do you actually recall a point where you got what commitment to you was?
Yeah, there's one point when you asked that question is when I was living in London, and I was living in, you know, I was doing the backpacker thing and living in a 3-bedroom house with 21 people, so and had hardly any money. So to get out and have my own space, I used to go to Hyde Park a lot in London, and I'd also jump on one of those big red buses when it was cold weather and just write, and I would go across London. And I remember going across London and looking at everyone and seeing, you know, the Jewish, the Pakistani, the Indian, the white, the black, the rich, the poor, and no one was happy. And at that moment, I was like, God, this has got to change. And that's, I guess, where I started writing down a whole series of things that I was like, what can I create that I can change this in the world? And I was like, okay, this has to change. And there's something driving in me that I knew was ready to burst and ready to go, there's something else in the world, and what can I be with that? So to me, that was some level of commitment I had to myself to be a change in the world.
Wow. And how old were you at that point?
Oh, I think I was 22.
Cool.
And 22.
Love it. Yeah. And that's what's so, I love hearing that. I love hearing that because I know you now, and I've known you for almost two decades, and I've watched you institute and create and grow. Oh my God. And the strength that you've had to choose and to keep growing. And you're one of the people that I've watched you choose greater a lot. And I know how unusual that is. Because the majority of the people that I know are constantly talking about why they can't and what's so hard. Even if they're not saying it out loud, they're saying it in their universe to themselves constantly.
Can I address that for a second?
Oh yeah.
Because I know a lot of people listen to your podcast and a lot of people in Access. And I was actually talking about this yesterday, that the amount of people that I see come along and they get really super enthused and excited about Access tools because it's the first time someone has been empowering them to know that they know, which is the tagline of Access. And they choose more, and they might choose more with money or relationship or business or one of these areas that they thought they had a problem with. And then it seems to me that that gets to this point where they sort of press the pause button and they keep using the tools, getting their bars run, doing all of this, but then they start maintaining something. And I don't mean this as a judgment. What I would like to ask is like the courage and the challenge that if you're listening to this and you go, hang on, have I pressed the pause button? What would it take if you pressed the play button again and started moving forward in a much quicker way? Because where you are at right now is just the beginning. And there is so much more that's available. Like at this very moment in your life, what have you decided is the most important thing? Is it money? Have you finally got money in your bank account? And if you've decided the money is the most important thing, what I would ask is that you pock and pot everything that is and ask what else is beyond that. Because I see people get satisfied with some change. And guys, if we all jump on this together and move forward, the change that is required and what we can create in the world is friggin' off the charts, just
right.
The beginning.
And what Simone is talking about is actually creating a greater world together, but not like kumbaya, holding hands, peace, love, and brown rice together.
I don't like that song, and I can't sing anyway. So
it's the commitment to the kingdom of we that is so much more nourishing that Simone is talking about. And it's that hearing that story of you riding the bus, you know, living in London at that time, not knowing what the greater could be, but getting a sense of what there was something that could be different and you were aware of it.
Yes.
And then like, look, isn't it so interesting where that's led? Because could you have ever predicted that, you know, that would lead to you being a, you know, worldwide coordinator and facilitator of, you know, Access Consciousness, and could you have ever imagined that it would look like it has?
No. And I want to say that's a great word to use because so many people look at it and then they try and predict the future. It's not a predictable future, and they'll choose, you know, a job or a relationship or something like that based on a predictable future. I just knew I wanted to change the way people looked at themselves and the way they looked at each other and the way they looked at the planet. That was the three requests. And from those three requests, I created.
And what's so amazing about the way that you've done it as well is I've watched you haven't made it about fixing other people. You've made it about being the inspiration that shows people that something else is possible.
Yes, I have. And someone said to me, how do you handle all the judgments? I was like, they're not real. If you get that energy of what it is that you desire, if you commit to your life, get the energy of what it is you desire, and it doesn't have to be what Shannon and I are talking about, Like for me,
it won't be. It'll be completely unique.
Yeah. And you can copy some of it. No, but I mean, you know, like for me, it's like that, that was such a huge thing for me because I used to watch people meet other people. And I wrote this huge piece on vulnerability, like way before Access, because I was like, why do people do that? Why do they put these roadblocks up between each other instead of just being like, hi, what's up? What's happening? Mm-hmm. You know, and it seemed to me that there was like religion, race, age, gender, all of this stuff that came in between rather than two, you know, and now I would describe it as two infinite beings. And then I would have just said two people like meeting each other. Why would we not be this honoring of each other? So that was a really strong sense for me. And I also noticed that nobody looked at the friggin' planet. You know, like I'd be the person in a room going, oh, look at that plant over there. Isn't it beautiful? And people would be like, what plant? And I was like, how did you not? And now I would go, how did you not hear that plant when you walked in the room? So that was just that little spark. Those things were what actually inspired me, my demand to create that in the world. And then from there, like I said, you go. But how many times do people stop? Sorry, but this is probably where I wanted to go. It's like how many people stop based on judgment, and which is usually the projections that people have of you, which then creates that place of the, you know, the separation, the rejections. And then you choose stop rather than fast forward based on somebody else, which is the theme that we've been talking about here today.
Okay.
Committed to you, you know where you're going.
Okay, hold on. So let's dissect that a little bit, because I love actually where you wanted to start, which is like, you know, you stated like people have asked you like, how do you deal with the judgment? Because you're not the only one in the world dealing with judgment, unfortunately.
No. No.
And I love what you said, which was that, you know, most people stop based on judgment. Oh, someone's judging me, therefore I'm going to stop being what's creating that judgment in the world. And it's interesting the way you're talking about it, and help me if I correct me if I didn't get this correctly, which is that, you know, you, instead of stopping, you actually go faster when you're being, you increase when you're being judged.
Yeah, I guess I would. I guess I would. And that's not the actual intention of going, I'm going to go faster. It's sort of you ignore it and then move on, which means that you ends up means that you go faster. Because most of the time when people are judging you, they're usually judging what they have not yet created and what they might never choose. They're not usually judging you. They're judging what they are not choosing and not doing.
Right.
So
judgment
says, if you stop, then it matches the energy of what they can have. And it's like where the hell did we get off on that? It's like, what if we never match the energy of what somebody else could have? What if you were so undefinable?
And what else is possible from there?
Yeah.
So everything that doesn't allow you guys to perceive what is undefinable and beyond what other people can have that you could choose. Will you destroy and uncreate everything that doesn't allow that?
Right and wrong, good and bad, puck and pot, all nine shorts, boys and beyonds.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
And how much, it's like how much of the commitment to you would be the willingness to have, even if others couldn't have.
Yeah. And I'm going to add to that home play that we gave as well, is when you look at your day and then ask, okay, am I choosing this for someone else? Or am I choosing this for me? Also put in there, it's like, are you doing, then if you go, oh, well, I'm doing it, not choosing it for me, so I'm not going to do it. It's like, are you going into resistance and reaction or alignment and agreement and pock and pod everywhere that you're resisting and reacting and aligning and agreeing with something rather than being an interesting point of view? And ask, will this create something greater? Like if I look at yesterday in Vienna, like I was super tired and, you know, I could have just stayed in the hotel and got my bars run. And Brennan and I went out with David Kubis, who's our international lawyer, went out to lunch with him. Mm-hmm. And I knew it was going to create something greater. We had three topics that we needed to talk about. And there are three topics that were creating something greater in the world. And it was great. We had fun. It was such a contribution, the three of us, to each other, and also a contribution to what it is that we're creating in the planet. So to me, that's committing to me. Like how many people would go, oh no, committing to me means I stay in the hotel room and I get my bars run. Mm-hmm. No, that's a desire you have that you would like to get your bars run. And when can you schedule that? And what else do you have to, you know, handle today? Because I'd see people put things off based on that resistance of being the contribution that I know that they can be. Mm. Does that make sense?
Oh, well, it does to me.
Okay.
it does to me. And this is such a huge, vital topic. And I believe that it's sort of like the misunderstanding of commitment that does create yes. so much sort of yes. damage in people's lives. So this is, I think, a great taste. And I'm even wondering if like a big, like it would kind of really be cool to have a class or a telecall on commitment. I don't know if it would be a very popular class, but I do know that it would be essential for.
Well, what we could do, is after this podcast, if people actually desire it, what if you and I did a telecall together?
I would love that.
Yay! Yay! Because it is a huge topic and you got to have the courage to go there.
Oh yeah. And it's been so misunderstood. And I don't actually know a lot of people who are committed. There's not a lot of commitment going on in the world, and most people have literally no idea what it is, let alone like want it. So, and something that both you and I have been blessed with is the gift of commitment. And I know that that's what's allowed us to achieve so much more.
And there's so many things that people like the way this actually, I remember this came up and, you know, we started putting it in the manuals is commitment to your life is I was doing Joy Business facilitator training. It was, I think it might've been 4 years ago or 3 years ago. And I was in Copenhagen and we were just bringing in the hub and people, you know, then had to pay a royalty each month, or either a commission, you know, a royalty from the classes that they did, or if they weren't doing any classes, pay a certain amount per month. And Joy Business was the first one to jump on board. And I spoke about it in the class and everyone freaked out. The energy of it was like horrifying of what they were projecting. And I spoke to Gary at lunchtime and he gave me some great tools and he said, talk to them about commitment. So I walked back in the afternoon and it was after like 3.5 days of facilitating this class. And I walked back in and I said to everyone, okay, here's the deal. If you want to get your money back after this 3.5 days, go see Francesca. She's going to give you your money back. And you know, that's fine. That's a choice that you can make.
And that was your commitment to not being controlled by that.
Absolutely. And I said, or you can stay this afternoon. And what I'm going to talk about will actually change the way you live and the way you have your business. And all afternoon we spoke about commitment because people were making it about money. And it's like, what's your excuse? What's your justification for not committing to what you're creating in the world?
Wow,
like
Simone.
For them, it was money. And it's like, no, it's like, what, you know, what are we going to do? Like I was talking to someone the other day in Access about one of the projects and they were trying to make it so that everyone was happy. And I said, no, I said, let's make them reach for it and seek it and choose it. Then they're committed. If we give them the easy route and go, come on, let's go over here. And it's like, then are they truly committed or will they always have us to blame when something doesn't show up? Whereas if you commit to something, you're committed. And it's like you jump 2 feet in to a reality of possibilities. It's like, let's go. What are you going to create? And you realize that you are the source of creation.
Yeah. And it doesn't, and it's like, it doesn't need to be significant or extreme. It's actually like, it's like just like switching the on switch to you on. You're just like, I am aware. So I think that this is exciting. We had no idea that we were going to talk about commitment. Who would have ever thought that that's where this would have led? And I think that I'm so excited about these vital energies becoming more available in the world for those that desire to choose them.
Thank you for listening to this show. My target is to make consciousness easy to find and choose. So if you enjoyed this podcast, please leave a 5-star review on iTunes and share this with somebody who you know who might be looking for more consciousness in their life. You can visit me on shannon-o'hara.com or talktotheentities.com. And to learn more about the amazing tools of Access Consciousness, you can visit accessconsciousness.com and be sure to subscribe to the podcast.